very late in my time in college, I was preparing to give a rather public talk and was being helped in that task by one of the more esteemed members of the faculty, kind of a legend. He was a poet and one with strongly philosophical tendencies. I was a political science major who was ready to have this particular project finished so that I could graduate. And during one of our meetings, my advisor had been pushing me somewhat forcefully to reflect more, shall we say, abstractly on one of those important things that keeps poets in business, love. And having found my reflections somewhat wanting, underwhelming, in exasperation, he said to a mutual friend, quote, "That boy does not have a philosophical bone in his body." Now, I suspected that he was right at the time, and that suspicion was confirmed years later studying philosophy as a Jesuit. But I held on to his quip that day as something of a badge of honor, because what I think he saw was that I am somewhat allergic to abstraction, and I grow quickly impatient with esoteric speculation. So today's feast day, Corpus Christi, like Trinity Sunday last week, are tricky ones for me. They have become idea feasts, where the theology and very often the preaching veer toward the abstract. We take a feast day that's about Jesus' body and blood, these being two of the least abstract things that we know, and wind up in a conversation about transubstantiation or about consubstantiation, about how bread and wine can be transformed in their essence, all the while hearing and tasting the same outward. That is an interesting question, but I do not think that it's really the heart of what today's feast is all about. In fact, I think that the mystery of Jesus' body and blood is tied up in the mystery of our own body and blood, each one of us. In the earliest days, Christians rarely faced the objection that our faith was too abstract, too speculative. In fact, the exact opposite was the case. Christian religion was viewed as way too concrete. It was too bound up in the world of stuff, of matter, of wooden trees and flowing water, of flesh and of bone, and yes, of blood and guts. And this started with the Judeo-Christian belief about creation, that is, that God made everything that is, loved it into being, and found it very good. Lots of people in the ancient world could only scoff at this view. They would ask, how could a God who was supposedly eternal and unchanging create a world of things that change constantly, and in which they even decay and die? Things got even more complicated when Christians tried to get around to the belief that in Jesus, God took on a fully human body, one exactly like us in all things but sin. Whatever else we might say about them, early Christians and those around them did not take this for granted, as we may be likely to do. God taking flesh, they asked, get lost. Even some of those who thought Jesus was divine were scandalized by the idea of a true flesh and blood incarnation. And this was mostly because they thought concrete physical matter, stuff, as unworthy of God, as evil even, by nature, or both. And this was particularly true of human flesh that we know so well, characterized by its unruly passions, its flickering mind, and its fickle heart. Our bones and our blood were beneath God, they thought. The idea that God had created body and blood, let alone having one, was a scandal. And yet, each week we still say, we'll say it again in a minute, that we believe God created all things, visible and invisible. We still say that for us and for our salvation, God became a human being us how all of Jesus can fit in a tiny piece of bread. As interesting, again, as that theological speculation might be. No, again I say, the mystery of the body and blood of Christ is tied up in the mystery of our own body and blood. Because in the end, this day points us to a God who created our flesh and all this world out of love and found it very good, then and now. It points us to a God who decided to share our flesh, our life, out of love, who in Jesus walked among us and with us and for us. And this feast day points us to a God who in the Eucharist feeds our bodies and our souls with his very self. Creation, incarnation, Eucharist. In all three, the mystery is the same, and the mystery is love. For Christians, love is just about the least abstract thing possible. Because for followers of Jesus, as one poet has said, love calls us to the things of this world. Love calls us to the things of this world. This concrete world that God loves so much to bring it into being. This world that God loves so much to walk among us, to be with us, to save us. And at this table, this Eucharist, love always ceases to be an abstraction. Because every time we gather here, love itself becomes food for our hungry bodies and souls. Love itself gets down on its hands and knees and washes our feet. Disciples and doubters, deniers and betrayers, pilgrims all. And love calls us always to go back out into this world. This world that God